This is Linda Rennie, the founder and the president of Sanctioned Love Ministries. The purpose of these podcasts is to bring the heartbeat of Jesus' ratifying love to you through the teachings, interviews, current topics, and much more. We plan to cover deep and sensitive topics to create a hunger to know the lover of our souls, who he is in us and who we are in him. So sit back and incline the ear of your heart to the pursuit of the pursuer himself. Me just moves my spirit to saying Jesus, Lord and Savior, puts an honor on my lips. And Holy Spirit, we can't even say Jesus is Lord without you. I ask for hunger in this room. I ask for a craving and a desire that the deep in us would literally match and meet a new deep in you. That the water brooks would wash over us. As your waves and breakers break over us, so that we would increase in you and we would decrease with ourselves. As you increase. So Father, we sit with a posture of children of faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please you. And so we come humbly and we come lowly in heart, but yet we come confident and fully persuaded. And only you can make those extremes happen with the full supply. I thank you that we can never leave, come into your presence and leave the same. It's impossible. It is impossible. So Lord, we activate. We posture ourselves to be open to receive from heaven. And as it is in heaven, so shall it be in earth, and so shall it be in this earthen vessel. This earthen vessel may heaven be. Father, we just lay our hands on our ears today. Ears you hear in the Spirit. Those that have ears, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Those that have eyes, we want to see Jesus. We want to have the scales removed of religious beliefs. We want to see way out there. We want to see way close in here. So thank you, Father, that we would have this Damascus Road experience where scales would fall off our eyes. Oh, that we would be blinded by the light of revelation that floods us, like Ephesians talks about. Father, may the words of our mouth be like the stammering lips, but the tongue of a ready rider. Oh, Father, may you answer the questions by the answer himself. Holy Spirit, come and teach us. We welcome you. We thank you, Father, for the expansion of the footprint enlargement of this house. I thank you, Father, that prayer, yes, Lord, everything does come. Come through prayer. Everything comes to us by sovereignty of the solution himself. Father, I thank you that today you're going to show us things to come. Wow. So it's coming to us, Lord, but then you're going to show us, Holy Spirit, like you said in John, things to come. Because you, as you were, as it is, and as it is to come. So I thank you, Father, we will see those things from the past, the presence, and the future, and we will see those things to come. And you are giving us insight into the things that are to come as heaven comes to us today. I thank you for the full counsel. I thank you that this is a teaching, Father, that you have granted and granted by heaven. Prayer is always granted by heaven, Father. You grant prayer. You grant prayer. That's why it's so holy to talk with a holy Trinity, the Godhead. We thank you, Father. We honor you, and we sit with a posture of expectancy. I thank you that, Lord, teach way beyond anything I ever understand or even know. May you just use me. Use my bloopers, Lord. Use everything, Jesus. Thank you for grace. Privileged. I'm so privileged, Father. I don't take it lightly, Lord. You're so good to me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, yesterday I did not have Tammy. I had did not have waterproof mascara on, so today I don't think I do either. So you know. Anyway, I don't know. Is it waterproof today? Okay, all right. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to teach this. I love you, Nettie. I just have my heart. I'm going to try to teach this, and because this is the substance of our faith. And so, faith is not the absence of doubt. It is the presence of belief. Bill Johnson said that. And I took that to the Lord. I took that to the Lord, and I was like, wow, Lord, could you, about a year and a half ago now, and he said, I would like you, Linda, to do a whole study on trust and faith. And I thought, well, I know these things. I got saved 42-ish, something around there, years ago. And I'm a faith girl. I have a gift of faith. The Lord's gifted me with a gift of faith. I can believe for things, stand for things, believe for others. I call them into people's destiny, stand alongside. I like it pumps me up to stand alongside my team and to call the gift out in them more than my own. I mean, it's a privilege. It's like my favorite thing. Like, come on, Lord, show me a secret about them. Stand on the sideline of their field, encourage them on in their life journey, and do it in faith and allow. So the Lord asked me, would you do this study? And so I had gone on vacation with Dan and I, and one of my favorite things to do on vacation is I love to study. And I love to pray. People are like, don't you ever unplug? No, I don't. I love that kind of stuff. And so to me, that's unplugging, is when I can just be with Jesus. I love being up in the middle of the night screaming in tongues. And I love weeping on the floor. And I asked Holy Spirit, would you please never allow me to wake up and say, could you not be my main desire today? Because I don't ever want to take my day for granted, and I want to serve you, and I know I'm a mess, and you know what, you mince crazy and all that kind of stuff, but I want to serve Jesus. And so he's like, but I want you to learn something about trust and faith. And so I started studying it out, and I was like, wow, trust has seven Hebrew words. I didn't even know. And some are used 150 times, and there's one that's used one time in the Bible. And I started studying this out, and I had pages. I took a journal with me that was like, this is just my trust and faith journal. And I would wake Dan up and go, look at this. This is so cool. And we would have coffee and we would talk about it and build each other up and encourage each other in the things of trust and faith. And he said, this is a journey that I need the body of Christ to know in this hour. And so I don't have the full revelation on that. I don't understand the full capacity of the why, but I know that we are going to have to come into a full persuasion of trust as the body of Christ. And I know that we are going to have to understand and give an account for our faith. And if we don't understand what faith is, and we can just quote Hebrews 11:1 and not have it rooted within who our identity is, it has to be deeper than that, because we come to him in faith and it pleases God, right? It's the only thing that pleases him. So it's the presence of belief, and it only works by love. Faith works by love. And faith without works is what? Dead. Faith without works is dead. And we hear a lot right now because I love grace. I'm a grace person. I need a lot of grace in my own life every day. And we all need grace. So this does not undefine grace. But sometimes we have moved our pendulum swing way over here in grace. Let's not judge. Let's not have, we can't have, we just need to give grace. And we have moved our pendulum away from the full persuasion of a yes. Because we've gotten sloppy agape and we've say, oh, works is religion. Works, don't go into works. Don't go into works. That is not what this is talking about. Faith without works is dead. You have to do the word. You got to work the word. You have to work the word for let faith arise and what? Your enemies be scattered. You have to work this. And it only works by love. And so we want to, what we do is when we get over into sloppy agape, which agape is the word for love, and we get over here and we're all sloppy with our love because we don't know the full promise of a yes and amen and what we really believe in, we damage people in the body of Christ. Because we don't want to be the one that would really say, because we're like, oh, they're judging, or they're I'm going to hold them accountable. I love my I love my family ferociously. I love TLG ferociously. I love Jess and Maya, and I hold them accountable. I love my team. I love my team, and I lead. I don't leave. We love with the ratifying love, sanctioned love, the authoritative love of God. That's why the Lord gave us that name. It's the authority of the love of God. You cannot have authority if you don't love. The more authority you need, the more love you better get into. And the lower you go in humility is your first step. So sloppy agape over here is because we don't hold accountability one to another. I have people that hold me accountable. And so accountable is like, I ferociously, radically love Melissa. I'm fierce about her. Fierce. And I say, it's honest communication time. And I come out of a place of faith and
prayer and full persuasion in prayer. And I come to her because she's one of my very best friends. And we have trust and faith. Remember, trust and faith. And so she trusts me. I don't have a relationship with her. I don't have access to levels of heart in her. Right? You don't just get to go up to someone and say in prayer, well, I prayed about it. I prayed. Oh, you know, I got this word and the Lord showed me this about you. That's called gossip. And you will never be trusted with mysteries of God if you just sloppy agape. And you slap your lips and you throw out a mystery. So the Lord trusts us in segments. So he says, this is my child and you'll stand accountable for how. You're not responsible for how you lead sanction love to them. But you are accountable to me. You're not responsible for their actions. Jeremiah's not responsible for your actions. But he is accountable to God how he leads. And so I come in faith out of prayer. This is not my message, but I feel led of the Holy Ghost for some reason to say this. And I am coming and I trust her and she trusts me. Now what she's going to say to me might be difficult, what I'm going to say to her. But in faith, I come to her in love. And it's the faith without works is dead. And faith only works by love. So I have to trust her that she's going to receive the body of Christ in love and put it on a platter that she can taste and see, the portion of the Lord. You understand? Does that help you? It helps us grow, right? It helps us mature into a place where we are wanting to learn this faith. I'm in faith. Faith isn't just like, I need a new car tomorrow. I need this new house. I need to get healed. Yes, 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 yes. But faith has to work by love. Faith has to worketh out your salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? This is literally, if you were to take all the Greek of faith, if you were going to take all of it and bring it into terminology of today, it's exercise to discover his presence. We should exercise faith. Why? Because we want to exercise his presence. Faith, hold down. This is what it is. You hold down. You do not let it get away from us or our heart, our mouth, our head. It is in syncopation with God or whatever God has promised. We have to get to know what he's promised. We got to be in syncopation. We got to be in syncopation. Whatever you're standing for, we don't stand for it. For you hold fast to his promises of full persuasion, to be fully persuaded so you can have a yes and you agree with the yes and the amen. So be it. You hold down. You don't let it get away from your heart, your mind, your mouth, the confession of your faith. You hold that sucker down until you see it come to fruition. What are you standing in your steadfast? Like Megan spoke so, I love that, Meg. I love that you taught us and that it's like, yes, this is not words on a screen. I am adding my faith every time I come into worship. That's why it doesn't matter who's leading worship, because I come in faith. I could go to somebody that's playing the banjo or yes. And you know, and it could be, but my heart can hook up in the presence because I come as a posture of faith that it's you I worship. I'm not worshiping that you feed me with the way you play your instrument. Man, we got to get over that stuff. It's just, oh man. It gets me crazy. do not have faith in faith, but you have faith in God. The Lord told me that one day. You're having faith in faith. Faith in faith makes us striving. I have enough faith. Oh, I need more faith. No, you don't need more faith. You've been granted a measure of faith. You just got to exercise that faith. Faith is a muscle. You go to the gym. I don't go to the gym. But some people go to the gym. And they, I like to swim. But you exercise your muscle of faith. Faith comes by what? How do you exercise? Hearing. So you exercise your ears. So you don't have faith in faith. You have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. And we're going to talk about where that's found. You don't have faith in faith. And let me show you. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And not of yourselves. You don't have faith in faith. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. Not by works, lest anyone should boast. Whoa! Not by works. Not by works of striving digging in your own flesh. Like when you come to the Lord, you must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that earnestly seek him. Hebrews 11, 6. You have to come to him in faith. And he's a rewarder of those that what? Earnestly desire and lavishly crave him. That's what it means. It's not coming to him in strife and in like, oh my gosh, I'm ringing. God never does this. She's screwed up. Oh my word. What's going to happen with her? Jesus, go down there. Fix it. He never does that. He doesn't. He is not so. He's like, I began that good work. I am faithful to bring it to completion. Why? Faithful. I am full of faith. And the word says that I have the God kind of faith on the inside of me. I have everything for life and godliness on the inside of me. You have everything. You lack for no good thing. You lack for nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing. I mean, if this is building, do you see faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? And all of that was scriptures made into a paragraph. So all of that went out alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And divide between your soul, your spirit, and your bone and marrow, revealed intentions of your heart. So if I were to ask you questions right now and say, okay, all of that was alive. We talked about this yesterday. That the word, praying the word, it's alive. It's living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. Hebrews 4. So, for point of reference, neuroscientists, doctors, you know what I'm talking about. And they hook up these sensors, you know, sticky things all over your head. And they did these 30-year studies in all of the religions of the world. They hook it up and they were reading the books. You can read a novel. You can read a Harlequin romance. You can read whatever it is, a mechanical whatever book. And it's all like this in your brain. On the sound waves. But when you hook it up to anybody that reads the word, this is alive. This is the only book that's living and active and sharper than two-edged sword. It divides asunder. It divides between here and here and reveals the intentions of my heart. And so when it's alive, it just went crazy on the screen. Boo, 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 to every single person over a 30-year study. This is your frontal lobe of reasoning. Why? He says, come up here and reason with me. Come up here and reason together. We sit in heavenly places, far above all principalities, rulers, and dominions of this earth. So when you speak the word, it comes by faith, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when you come out of a posture of prayer and you are in love with the lover of your soul, and you might just say two sentences or one word, and you come and you're like, oh, it's not by works, lest anyone should boast. Father, I repent for pride. Would you search me like we did the flashlight yesterday? Would you search me and know me and see if there's any wicked way? Yes, the word is wicked. Wicked way. Would you search me and know me? That word know there means intimacy. Into me, see. See me, know me, have intimacy. It literally is not, there's several words for know, but that specific one is really intimacy. That kind of intimate connection. Because you can trust the Father to say, don't go to a brother or a sister in pride. Lest anyone boast. The Lord told me for years, I want you to be quiet. Ugh, what the heck? And what's really going on here? I don't know. And so it was like, I want you to be quiet. Because I have some things that I want to have you learn to trust me in and work out your fear of salvation. Because I've always asked the Lord, spend my life to the last nth of the nth. You can have it all. And I started praying that prayer in faith at 11 years old. I started having words of prophecy over my life when I was 3. That it would be whatever it is. It's big words. Big words, big words. And I had this gift of faith. Like, yes. I'm going to do this. And he had to build my character to match my call. We want to flow in the gifts and we want to prophesy and we want to give words to people and they are never rooted and grounded in love. And if your character don't have the fruits of the gifts, fruits of the Spirit in it, and they don't match the character of the gifts of the Spirit, you have no business doing it. Because then people go, I don't believe in prophecy. I certainly don't believe in tongues and interpretation. Those people are wackadoodle cuckoo-cachoos. And we give the grace of God a bad name. Because we didn't posture ourselves in faith and learn the word himself who became flesh and dwelt among us. And when we gave the word, we gave faith works by love. So, refuse to budge when you're in faith. Hold fast to the profession of your faith without wavering. Go to bed on your faith and do not let loose of it. He told me that one time. Go to bed on your faith, Linda. Go to bed. Wake up in faith. Go to bed in faith. Make the confession of your faith solid. Don't waver in unbelief. Don't waver, because what does James say? A man that's in unbelief wavers. He's unstable in all of his ways. So that means, like, I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. We come and we're like, okay, and we pray for a lot of, you know, tumors and healings, a lot of soul situations, and we'll be like, yes, I'm in healing, I'm in prayer, I'm with you, I'm in agreement, yes, yes, yes. And then not even 2 days later, the person will be like, I'm gonna die in 2 weeks, and I'm like, whoa, come on. on. In love. In love.
I'm just going to use you, Guillermo, as an example. This is not personal.
Get up. Stand in your faith. We are in agreement. We talked about unity yesterday. I mean, when two agree as touching anything, it shall be done. My faith is there. Come on, I'm pulling you up into your stance. And sometimes we have to do that with one another. Yeah. I don't come to him with compassion and go, you know what, honey? This is, it's pity is not compassion. Yeah. And I'm going to be like, I understand. I just, we're in a battle against cancer for crying out loud. And we've been given all authority. And we've been defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we have to encourage each other to pull each other up into our faith. Faith is fully persuaded. Doesn't mean I'm mean. It means I'm in this with you to win it. I'm in it to win it with you. And I'll stand with you to the end. I will. But I'm not going to let you waver in unbelief. I get mad. I mean, the team, I'm not pretty. I get fierce. Because I'm like, we have too much wagering on this. We have stuff to get done in the body of Christ, bride. We have things to get done. We cannot take the chance to waver and be like every wind. What's winds of doctrine? What's the wind of doctrine that I'm wavering in an unbelief? Because I never knew faith. I never knew the word. And in this hour, in this time, if we don't think more and more winds of doctrines are infiltrating the body of Christ, and we go, that sounds good, that looks great, but it's never tested. Test the spirits. Mixture is everywhere, and anointing is pure. You have to have faith over fear. Fear has, anything that fear's telling you to do, this is a test, I'd say. Okay, fear would be like, ooh, I don't know. Everybody deals with fear. Nobody's above fear, but I just don't let fear come and talk to me anymore. And so you can come and I'm like, you back the hell up. Go back to hell. That's where you came from. I do the opposite. Fear's telling me to do something. I'm just like, I'm going to be bold and courageous. And I'm going to take the land. I'm going to take it. Whatever the circumstances is, I'm going to take it. I'm going to believe in faith. If fear is saying this, that, the other, and this, I'm like, oh no, oh no. I got a word that came from hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I am fully persuaded on a promise. And I have a yes and I have an amen. And you have to bow your knee, fear, in the name of Jesus, to the living word of God that's divided between my soul and my spirit, my bone and my marrow. And you have to leave in the name of Jesus, the name. And I just do that. Oh, the name of Jesus. Hear it. The name that defeated you. I get so like, oh, don't you dare come against my son. Don't you dare come against. I have faith more than a conqueror, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. He doesn't sometimes cause us to triumph. He always. And he made him a public spectacle by dragging him naked through the streets. Truth prevails. Truth wins. Truth won. Truth is. And truth is coming. If you can see it already, it doesn't require faith to believe for it. If you can see it already, it doesn't require faith. Right? Faith is assurance of things not seen. It's the evidence of things you are hoping for. Hoping for. Is that Italian? I don't know. Jewish. Yes. And so,
With faith and hope, you can believe for it and you can see it come to pass. You have to see something in your heart. When I was 20-something young, I got divorced from my first husband, and we were pastors, and those are some funny Linda-isms and bloopers, but I won't go into it, but they're very tempting to say. They're so funny, but anyway, so... when I got divorced, it was very painful. It was painful. And the church that we were leading, and we were leading in a small community. It's a long story. It doesn't really matter. But a lot of not good things took place. And I came back to our main house that sent us out, and I sat in the very back row, and I was just bleeding out. I was bleeding out. And God is so good. And he's like, you have to hold on by faith to me. If you can just touch the hem of my garment today, Linda, that's all the faith you need. Seed of a mustard seed, and it'll grow so big. Just because this happened doesn't mean your dreams died. It doesn't mean you get to let go. You're still required to walk your path. No matter if everybody's left you. I had this person, she wrote 9 letters on church letterhead about me and sent it, but she never signed her name. And it was a story. Anyway, it was a bummer situation, and she had not been honest about this scenario. And the Lord said, "Just stay quiet. Don't ever defend yourself." And years passed, and I went to a conference to speak, and I was in Sun River in Bend, Oregon, and I was there, and this woman was there. And he said, you're going to come in and you need to stand in faith and be steadfast. And you can't waver, and you're going to have to hold on and believe my promises. And I got up, and it was a room about maybe 100, 200 people. This was a long time ago. And I look out, and there she was. And all these other individuals. Oh, it's like, stay steadfast in faith. Stay steadfast. Don't waver in unbelief and don't doubt yourself. Don't doubt because the circumstance is screaming at you. Don't doubt because your pain is really loud. Don't doubt because you have reports of gossip. Don't doubt. You look to me, the author and the finisher of your faith. You look to me right now. You look to me. You look at me and you look to me in you. For I am in you, and I'm greater than he who's in the world. And don't justify yourself. And so I taught, spoke. I was young, 20s, you know, your baby. And she came up to me, and she repented and said, I was the one that wrote the letters, and I lied. And the whole thing came out. And I had to talk about forgiveness and repentance. I had to, for months, I had to say, Lord, if she was right here in the spirit, right here, could I hold her? Could I pray for her? And he would first say, just mention her name. And it was like, and that was all I could do. But it took faith to say it. It took faith to say a name. I'm just saying this because sometimes we go through hell. And sometimes life isn't fair. But it never gives us an excuse to not be steadfast and waver in unbelief.
When the storms come and the winds blow, we don't stand on sand. We stand on a rock of faith, fully persuaded of a counsel of the counselor, knowing that if your integrity is intact, you repent where you repent and you know, well, I had unforgiveness. And so I had to walk through months of going, okay, today in the spirit, I could hug her. Today in the spirit, I could look her in the eyes. Today in the spirit, if I saw her in the grocery store, I would be okay. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to be bound by that. Take me faith. Okay, Lord, I don't want to hinder what you have for me. I got to love her well. Faith without works is dead. I had to work out that salvation with fear and trembling because it was painful. And she came up to me, and I'm not kidding. Melissa, come here. She came, and I was like this. I love you. I love you. And it was just as much of healing for me. Not because of this person that did those things, but because I felt like victory in Jesus, my Savior. And I, forever, because he bought me and he sought me with his redeeming love. And the faith of God, I held on to it. And I'm like, you vindicate me. And it was freedom. And I didn't have to be concerned about the other person. But prayer and faith go together. We don't always have to defend or justify or come in. Faith stands and faith looks. And faith is fully persuaded. Make sense? So, if you can see it, it'll come to pass. That which is not yet, but will be done to you only as you believe. That is where the prayer of faith comes in. Those that believe, you receive. You've got to believe that you receive. We're going to talk about that. Hebrews 10:20 says, let us hold 10:23. 20 Z's. 20. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast. Here's that scripture, okay, that I'm talking about. To the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful. Faithful that we will become full of faith. With all prayer and petition, this is Ephesians 6:18. Pray with specific requests at all times, on every occasion, and in every season, in the Spirit, and with this in view. With this in view, with this insight. Stay alert. With all perseverance and petition, interceding in prayer for all God's people. This is not to pray in faith. With all prayer and petition, pray with specific requests at all time, on every request, in every occasion, and in every season. This is not a strategy. It's not a formula. It all comes from a person. It's not a secret. It is confidence in the person of the Holy Spirit. We have to be confident in him, in whom Paul says, I know in whom I trust in. I know in whom I trust in. So if I'm in wavering, I go, oh, Jesus, trust radar. It's kind of on the empty side, right? So I know in whom I trust in. I'm praying in all occasions and for every season. There's not a strategy or a formula. It is from the person of the confidence of knowing the Holy Spirit through the Word himself by faith. So that's not, therefore, Romans 8:1, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It just means go back, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. On every occasion and in every season, in every situation, we have to come back to the word himself. We talked about that. That comes by hearing. It doesn't just come by listening. It comes by hearing. It doesn't come by have heard. It comes by from hearing. You can't have heard the word. We talked about this yesterday about manna in the desert. The word manna is the bread of life, right? And then the New Testament, who's the bread of life? He's the manna, right? And in the Hebrew, it means what is it? And in the New Testament, in the Greek, it means what is it? They didn't recognize what is this stuff falling from heaven? And they had to eat it. And if you didn't eat it that day, if you brought it back from word you heard, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And if it came from yesterday, it would spoil and rot. So it has to be a continual hearing. It has to be a continual fresh. You go into the New Testament and Jesus says the bread of life. And they're like, who is this? They thought he was going to come and conquer and be this warrior and be this overcomer. And he came as a baby in a manger. And they're like, what is this bread of life? I love the story about the Lord has used this so many times with faith. After Jesus died and he was resurrection, and he came back and he was walking on the road to Emmaus. And I actually have something later for that, maybe tomorrow. But the word Emmaus, the disciples were walking with him. And the word Emmaus means in the Greek lukewarm, warm water, actually is exactly what it says. Warm water. And they're walking along, and Jesus comes right next to them, the bread of life. And they were so in dismay and so heartbroken, and they were talking about the circumstances. They were like, oh my gosh, he's gone. They crucified him, and it was terrible. And on and on, just wallowing in the situation of emotional relief. I've got to just talk about it. I just got to get it out. And it's just despair. We got to go hide, and we got to hide under a rock. They'd been with Jesus for 3.5 years. And like, where did faith go? And so they're walking in lukewarmness, walking on the road to lukewarmness. Jesus comes right up next to them, faith himself in the flesh. Prayer of life, the bread of life. And he's like, don't you? They're like, don't you know what happens? They were so in their emotion and out of faith, they didn't recognize him when he showed up on the scene. Wavering and unbelief. It's the lack of belief. So here he goes, and he lived there, and all of a sudden, the bread of life starts to talk. I mean, one word of God, it'll change you. One word. One word. One word. Word that became flesh and dwelt among them. The bread of life. And all of a sudden, he's walking and their hearts begin to burn. Have you ever been in prayer and your heart is burning? Ugh. I pray fire in this room. I pray burning hearts awaken unto the word himself. Walk among us, Jesus, right here. Walk among us in the areas where we feel lukewarm, where we need faith arise and the enemies to be scattered and fear go. And so they are walking and their hearts begin to burn and their eyes opened up. Their eyes opened up and they're like begging him, come to my house. Come to our house. Come to our house. Come to our house. And he's like, okay, I will. And when they broke bread, their eyes opened up. Hey! Whoa! That just caused my spirit to leap. What do y'all must say? come on. It's about the breaking of the bread of life that causes a faith to arise in you. So when we're walking and it's unstable, that's why he says, Peter says, walk circumspectly in this day. Circumspectly means to go, I'm putting specifically my foot here because he is the light upon my path and the lamp on my feet, and I am walking circumspectly. Now, pick it up, place your foot where he says, circumspectly, by faith. Now I'm walking here, because we just don't walk like this. Oh yeah, I'm just casual with my walk, casual. I'm not in faith, but I'm a faith believer. Oh yeah, I'm a faith believer. I can name it. I can claim that. I have no root system in me of love. I'm just walking. No, no, no. Circumspectfully is I got faith. Whew. Feet are shod with preparation of the gospel of the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whew. This is, many are the plans of the heart of a man, but God has ordered my steps. Whew. I'm walking circumspectfully. I'm healed. I'm the head. Oh, yes, Father, today I'm not the tail. I know work has been, this person at work has been a problem, but no, no, no. Oh, yeah, I'm a light in the darkness, and darkness is just not comprehending it. So love always wins, and it covers the multitude of sin. Oh, yeah, I have love. Love abounds in me. Love abounds in me. Love abounds in me. I have faith, faith, faith. I have the assurance of things hoped for. I have to think, let hope arise. Hope is arising. Because if you don't have hope, you are tying face hands. You have to get to where you pray. Fully persuaded. I'm spitting now. Okay. So, page 2. We are created to hear from him. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The Greek word for faith is pistis, pistis. It means fully confident and trusting. Fully confident. Confident. Confidence is boldness, but it is not arrogance. And it is the ultimate. Confidence is the ultimate picture of humility. Always. Pride is not confidence. Arrogance is pride. Full persuasion. I am fully persuaded. People are like, that's just being prideful. You're just thinking that God's just, he's your, whatever they say, puppet or whatever, Christmas tree or Santa Claus, Christmas tree. But they're your Santa Claus. Anyway, something. And I'm like, oh, I'm a child of the King. I don't know about you, but when we went to India and we saw these huge palaces, or you go to the Queen in England, and I mean, hello, you know, there's protocol in a palace. There's protocol. Not every Joe Blow gets to go into the palace. Not every Susie Q gets to go in to the palace. Right? There's protocol. That is a kingdom. They call it a kingdom. It's a kingdom on earth. Man, we got a kingdom of heaven. And there is protocol. And the entrance is faith. And it says, come boldly to the throne of faith by grace, that you could obtain the mercy that's needed for this hour. So one day I was like, well, if the natural king's kids can have everything, then I'm a God's king's kid. I'm a king's king of kings kid. I'm going to learn the protocol. And I got access to the throne of grace by faith to come boldly to the throne and receive anything. You ask in my name, believing and not doubting and not wavering. And what does it say? Faith begins where the will of God is known. You don't know the will of God, your faith can't begin. It's presumption. And then we go, we blame God and say he didn't answer our prayers. You understand?
That's a good question for later.
Cue and a clue.
Because we ask, we pray, what does the word say? Amiss.
If you don't know the word of God, we ask amiss, and the will of God is where faith begins, and faith begins where the will of God is known. The will of God is what? Right here. Everything we have is because we are joint heirs and we have an inheritance. Everything. There's protocol that happens. When both my parents passed away a couple years ago, and I was the executor of their will. And there was protocol. There was legal documents. There was legal documents. And it showed what my inheritance was. And somebody off the street could not come and say, I want Linda's inheritance. They weren't in the same bloodline. Right? The will of God is known where faith begins. I got to know this, and so my faith arises, and I know what was bought and purchased and paid for. He died and he bled so that we don't walk defeated, disgusted, and busted. Whatever that saying is. Busted, disgusted, and rusted or something. I don't know. But either one, we don't want to walk that way. We want to walk fully persuaded, knowing that he who began the good work is faithful to bring it to completion. Period. Right, Annette? You're a living testimony, a living red epistle that people read you all the time, and they see him. When they read you, they see him. They read you, and they see him. Your story is living. It will always be living. You are alive for such a time as this. And you will be alive and stay alive always. Till he says, when you're old and gray, one day, in the name of Jesus, I stand firmly persuaded on a promise. And I say a yes to his yes. That was it. See, that's the will of God. Why? Because by his stripes she was healed. So he bled and he took cancer upon his back, and by his stripes he bore. He was so unrecognizable. He wasn't even like a human. Somebody died for us, guys. I asked the Lord. I bought a book to see. I wanted to know. I bought a book of what it is, what it happens to the body to be crucified. I wanted to know, what did you do for me? We say these things, but I want to know what you did for me. What it does to the medical side of things to a body. The book literally is this thick. I'm not kidding. I fell on my face and was like, Pat, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy are you. It made the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world come alive. And it became the Word of God that became flesh to me. Because I knew the will that was like, that's why you get mad when you hear a covenant sister has something the enemy is trying to do. We don't come, this is not to boast that anyone should be exalted, but it is because covenant is what we gained through faith. Covenant is what we came through blood. Covenant. And so when we made a covenant with you. I don't know if some of you know that, but sanctioned love takes you extremely serious. You are written in our pages of our heart. You are tattooed on our palms, you know, because we lift you. And Danette is one of those on Mondays. Oh, we lift her up, we lift her up. We're lifting, we're lifting, we're lifting. Okay, what's, and we come into the mystery realm by faith to see something that was once hidden to be revealed now. And we call those things when they're not as though they are. And some of that doesn't know, but that's what covenant faith partnership is. So we say these things. That's why the Lord said to me that time, and you guys have heard me say this a million times, this is not formulas. It isn't, they say, blab it, grab it, name it, claim it, whatever. It's, but you can. Our tongue is life and death. You better blab it, and you better grab it. You better blab this. And you better grab this. You can't be blabbing about the situation and the circumstances, walking around a lukewarm road and just going, oh, woe is me. My Savior died and he left me and he abandoned me. Jesus never leaves you or forsakes you. Yeah. I'm all by myself. The heck you're not. He died that you could live. And the life you live according to the word. And you live it life abundantly. You live abundantly. Does it feel abundant? No, but by faith, I'm fully persuaded it's abundantly. And I'm speaking every day. I speak life, and I'm not speaking death. And I'm not going to align with my situation, my circumstances. I could align with my son who was in jail and be like, this is so sad to me. But I stood and stood and stood. And he's like, don't you dare get in your flesh. And don't you dare get in your emotion. You will lose this battle. And I was like, as a mom, you want to go, oh my God, that's my baby. That's my boy. That's my son who's had a call and a gift of faith since he was little. He'd be like, mommy, I want a cat. And I'm like, no, we don't want that. And he's like, I want it to be black and white. And the next day, right, Megan, Oreo shows up. Baby little kitty. See, mom? Good, yes. See what God can do? Mommy, I want... And it's like, oh, I want a motorcycle. I want it blue and I want it blah, blah, blah. Okay. You know, I'm like, okay. And it's like, boom, here's a little motorcycle. Brand new Yamaha 80, 60, whatever they are. I mean, he's little. And the enemy came in with hope deferred on someone that could have taken life by every, you know, whatever you say, life, and just, huh? Horns, yes, and something. You grab life ferociously. And he was a faith walker. And I stood and stood and stood and stood. And he would be... And hope deferred after hope deferred. But see, this is the promise the Lord gave me before he was born. He will be a Nazarite and he will never get away with anything. And you will know it. And I'm not kidding. I would know it. And you got to know who your kids are in the spirit. You got to know their identity of heaven before he's given. When you carry them or when you raise them, you got to know who they are. So you can align with, raise up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. Why? What does that mean? Raise them up in their bent. That's what it means in the Hebrew. Raise them up, not in what they should do, but raise them up in their calling. The Lord told me when Megan was in my womb, she's a worshiper to the nations. So when she went 16 and she's crawling, sneaking out the window and... yeah. I'm like, she's called to worship. She's not wavering. Oh, no, enemy. You don't get her for 1 second.
Yeah.
I'm not moved. No. And so, Trevor, he came. I was like, we had Evergreen. And my son has not been for years. He knows the word sometimes better than I know the word, that kid. And he is fourth in the whole nation of, what is it called, powerlifting. And he's champion. He's everything that kid did. Graduated on the baseball field, state championship. Football, OSU, U of O, full ride to Linfield. Baseball, just everything the guy touched because he was a Nazarite. In high school, he'd be in the dugouts, and the Lord had raising children God ways for boys, not raising children God ways, every young man's battle. And he would read that and his Bible every night in high school. And he'd be in the dugout, and the dugout conversations are not good. And he'd like, you look at a woman in their eyes. You look at a girl with their eyes, and you see who they are. He's telling this to the baseball team. And he's like, they're not this and that and da-da-da. Hey, this is not a piece, you know, this is who they are. This is somebody's daughter. This is da-da-da-da-da. It's like 16, 15, what is who he is. And the enemy came in. And he was cool. He wasn't like some, he was cool. They respected him. Kids, you walk with Jesus like that, be bold and confident in your faith. It is cool, man. It's a cool thing to do. And it is because kids are looking for an answer. They don't want wishes. This generation's black and white. They want faith. They want it. And they need parents to back them up. They're going into a war zone. You got to be in faith. You got to pray for the teachers. You got to pray for the school system. Prayer of faith. This isn't somebody else's job, people. It's our job. Sign up. Get paid. Price was paid for him. So Trevor comes to Evergreen. And I thought, if Evergreen was just for me for that one moment. A lot of beautiful things happened at the conference. Like, great, beautiful. But for me, I met my prayer by my son standing right here. And the guy that we had speak one session, he didn't know. He's like, is this your son? You're a leader. You're this. You're that. All the things that the Lord had said on my faith, in prayer, forever, came and just talked to Trevor Michael Ryan. And it's like, this is who you are. This is who you are. This is what's going to happen. And I'm like, I'm meeting my prayer. I'm meeting my prayer. I'm meeting my prayer. Oh, yeah, and that. And I got faith. Yeah, yeah. I was just standing there. Just cry. Everybody's crying. Just Myra behind me. Megan's crying. Dan's crying. Everybody's crying. Because Melissa's crying. Because we've stood. All of our families. Melissa's family came. They all just got rocked. People that we've been standing for years. Joy's family. We've been standing for the ones that are on the peripheral. The Lord told me to plead the blood to the third generation every day over Sanction Love's family and yours. Stop having children, people. Because it's like, oh. And so, every day. And watching to stand in the prayer of faith, and you meet your prayer. If I would have wavered in my unbelief when he was in jail because he was so disheartened that he got a DUI, I'm like, the kid never even drank. He was a straight-A student. What the heck is happening? I don't know this child. What's happened? And the enemy came in and said, oh, he'll never get away with nothing. He's a Nazarite. And I mean to stand and said, don't you steal his promise. Don't you dare. You're going to pay back to the generations he's going to preach to and teach to. I mean, you got to be fight the fight of faith. You got to get your shield of faith. And you got to be fully persuaded that if he promised you something, He's going to be faithful. He can't help himself to answer. Everything. It doesn't say. It says everything is a yes in God. We just get to say the amen. We don't get to go, well, let's just talk about this for reason it out and try to, there's confusion around. And well, you just tell there is no confusion in Christ. Who's the author of confusion? Who's the author of doubt? Who's the author? You've been standing for promises. You get back up and you stand. We don't crouch down. We're not sissies. I'm not a sissy. I might be 54 and almost 55 this month, but I'm no sissy. Oh, this is all I've got done. Okay, this is my problem. Okay. Okay. Hebrews 11:1. We're finally getting here. Hello. Okay, what is faith? Okay. It's the confident assurance that we expect is going to happen. This is the Passion Translation, okay? It is the confidence assurance that what we expect, it's going to happen. Woo! It is certain evidence of things we cannot see. New King James Version. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not who you are not or what you do not have. It has nothing to do with that. It's a substance. Faith is not who you are. You are not faith. And it's not what you have. It is a substance. Faith is a substance. Now, faith brings our hope into a reality. Okay? And becomes the foundation needed to acquire the thing we long for. Now, faith brings our hope. Our hope, let hope arise. Come on, hope, hope again. Where did you lose your dream? Dream again. Where did you compromise? Where? What have you forgotten? What have you justified? Now faith brings our hope into reality and brings the foundation needed to acquire the things that we long for. He gives us the desires of our heart, right? Because why? We delight ourselves in him and he gives us the desires of our heart. Well, a longing there means desire. What are the things you're longing for? What are the dreams you've had? Who were you before you were born in the foundation of the world? Who are you destined to be? By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. By faith, David. By faith, Peter. By faith, Paul. Come on, who are you? Faith is who you are not, not who you are not. Faith is. It is the evidence required to prove it is still unseen. It is the evidence, evidence, evidence. What do you have to prove in a court of law? What do you need? Evidence. You don't have a case without. Come on. We have all the evidence we ever need to go to any court that the enemy has tried to form against you. And you bring your evidence and you say, it is written. Read it and weep. Yes. and the gavel of heaven. Courts in favor of Jetty. Right? Evidence. We need that evidence. It validates things unseen. It validates you. It validates. It's been validated. You come in faith and it validates. You stir it up. Timothy says, don't forget to stir up the gifts. Like Megan talked about, bring your spoon to church. Get yourself all stirred up. You know, when I was in prayer school and I was in healing school at Rhema, and you know, it was like, here's this 30 years ago, here's a glass, a clear glass, and here's chocolate and milk, and you go to drink it, it's like bleh, but you get in there and you stir it up and you get the flavor of who you're supposed to be. You drink deep of the word of God and you taste and see that he is good, and he who started that good work in you is able to nourish you by faith through the working out of your salvation with fear and trembling by drinking the word of God. Drink, 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 drink. Get the full flavor. Don't just drink the milk. Get the mixture of the substance and stir it up. I mean, yucky. Who was the kid that never wanted the unstirred chocolate milk? It was just like, that's a drag. You don't want that. You don't want it. It validates things. You got to start dreaming in prayer. And you know what? We go back to repentance. Jesus, forgive me, for I chose to believe the lie that the dream was never going to happen. So I stir up my faith and I say, it's substance. I bring substance. Oh, manna from heaven is substance. Word of God is substance. I stir it up by having substance, 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 substance. I chew on substance. I taste and see that you're good again. I choose to have substance, substance, substance. It's the, I don't see it yet, but I believe it and I can see it in my heart. I can see it in my heart and I know it's coming. And I'm calling those things when they're not as though they were. I'm calling them as into the now. I'm calling it in the now. I'm calling it in. Now faith is. Now faith is. It's not tomorrow. It's not next year. Now faith is the substance. Ooh. If we have no hope, we said this, we tie the hands of God. You have. The Lord told me this one day. Linda, have the audacity to hope and believe. Be audacious. You have the audacity to hope and believe? Yes. Believe for people when they can't believe for themselves. Stop being in competition and stop complaining about in one another and stop criticizing. Amen. Yes. Well, I don't really, you know, well, the Lord told me. And so he told me this, and so they're wrong. That is arrogance and pride. And there is no pleasing in faith in that. And this is the thing about mysteries of God and trust in faith. The Lord will say, I'm going to trust you with a secret about Gary, let's say. And I'm going to show you something that he doesn't yet know. But I'm going to share a mystery that's once hidden but yet revealed. And you're asking me to grow in prayer and you're asking me to believe. But this one's very precious to me, says the Lord. He's saying this to you in your prayer, right? And I'm going to trust you with something about him. And he might not, it might look a little bit whatever. Your first clue in faith and trust to guard the heart of a precious son or daughter of the Lord is to never go up to him and say, this is what the Lord told me about you. You know, I was praying, and Gary, the Lord said, I don't know what the Lord's saying.
But you will not be entrusted with mysteries of God. This is, children of the Most High God are precious. Just because we've been given insight and there might be things, then we go back in faith and we inquire of the Lord to obtain the full supply. And if not saturated in love, faith without works is dead, but it only works by love. So if you're asking for prophetic words and you're asking for family or asking situation, it has to always be the motivation of love. And he will give supply to that more and more. You cannot flippantly say, I'm a prophet. You cannot flippantly use the gifts of God. You have to add your substance that came saturated in love and say, oh, if they're struggling with this, what could the Lord add? Okay, I stand quietly and I'm being trusted, entrusted by the Lord to have a mystery of someone that when the timing comes, I can pray from the victory side instead of the enablement side. Thank you for listening to the Sanctioned Love podcast. Our desire is to bring the ratifying love, the binding force of love, to individuals with the purpose of increasing intimacy, freedom, and identity in Christ. Please check us out on our website, sanctionedlove.com, and all of our social media platforms. We would love you to consider partnering with us in taking the ratifying love around the globe. Thank you for listening and see you next time.